All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, April 27th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday. Not really. Like I always say, Monday needs to be canceled. It is 42 degrees and overcast. It looks like it is sprinkling slightly here in upstate New York. But like I always say, it's better than snow. I know we saw yesterday there was some pretty crazy storms going on again down in Texas. They've been getting hammered pretty horribly. Hope all you guys down in the southern nether regions of the United States are doing okay. Lots of crazy twisting clouds and stuff yesterday. It looked like the entire front of the front that was coming through started rotating on radar. It was pretty nutty looking. We also saw that they were getting snow again in New Mexico and Colorado yesterday, so glad I'm not them. Okay, so where do we start today? I'm trying to remember what we talked about on Friday. I've had some difficulty after I mentioned a few days ago that YouTube started messing with me, where all of a sudden it wasn't allowing me, depending on topic, I discovered. They were removing monetization, even though it was only our own individual content speaking for an hour. They decided that for some reason we didn't own the content or something, but it seemed to be based on topic. I had gone through and found, I don't know, there were 6 or 8 shows off the top that I saw besides my own that dealt with topics such as vaccines, 9/11, ISIS, right? Any of those topics that seemed to be messed with. One of the other things that was happening to my show is that I had an app set up. So every time one of our shows archived and then auto-ripped to YouTube, it would then, this tool would snag it and then do an auto-post to Facebook. I know there are other tools out there that do it, and I might have to look for something else because it just out of the blue stopped posting any show that that once the archive rips to YouTube on Facebook. And that's been working probably for a good 6 or 8 months now flawlessly. So I'm not sure why that out of the blue stopped working. It stopped working for my show in particular for 2 or 3 days, so I would have to upload a photo and then it wouldn't even render the ISO, so there was no picture even when you just manually took the link. So I'd have to upload a photo and build the the link on Facebook for the archive from YouTube to be there. But now it started happening to every show on the UCY YouTube channel. So none of them auto-post and none of them render ISOs any longer. So go figure, who the hell knows? But all I know is that, you know, people who point at me and laugh and go, gee, what kind of a tech is you? Because you have all these technical problems. I don't know. We used to laugh at people like me. It was fine yesterday and it doesn't work today and I didn't do anything. That seems to be like status quo now, doesn't it? All right. So I found the show from Friday, and yes, it did not render an ISO. I titled the show Poisoning You for Profit, and I'm sure that nobody really cared because it's like, oh yeah, well, we've heard all that before, except you haven't heard my take on it. Anybody who has listened to my show before knows that, I don't know, I at least take pride in it, that I see things where you just turn them a couple degrees more to the north, and all of a sudden things start to make a lot of sense. We know that they're poisoning us for profit, but we dig a lot deeper into the things that they're profiteering from and how the technologies work. But anyway, the one thing that I did for the picture is instead of using just the Before the First Cup banner, which sometimes is kind of blah, I actually found a picture of Kool-Aid Man. Remember him? Oh, yeah. The big floated with sugar, and back in the 80s they loaded that up with aspartame as well, but I think there was the blue one. But it's got Kool-Aid Man and he's looking unhappy and he's holding another pitcher of Kool-Aid above his head, and he is in a boot, which is like one of those broken leg boots on the one leg and he's got a crutch on the other side. And I thought that was quite fitting. Try to drink the Kool-Aid as we're gimping away injured. It's kind of difficult to do that. But anyway, so let's take a look at what... Hold on, where'd it go? Let's take a look at what topics, because I did put, and I always try to put all of the notations of the articles that I speak about or the video clips that I play into the description. So if you missed a show or if you didn't see me dropping in a chat, because sometimes I don't if I'm having difficulty here, you can always find them there. It goes up probably about an hour after the show's over. All right, so we looked at some fast tracking for the FDA. Of course, we were probably looking at vaccines, I'm imagining. Flu outbreak worsens. Edward Bernays. Oh, yeah. Kickbacks are legal under Obamacare. Confessions of an RX drug pusher. Bird flu wiping out half the Midwest poultry flock. Yeah. All right. And then that independent study about no MMR autism connection that, of course, Brandon and Heather Callaghan managed to completely eviscerate. And after the show, I did go out to the source material and to the research material that that group had provided to quote unquote prove there was no MMR and autism link. And at the very bottom of that, they did have to detail any conflict of interest. And it actually, in very small print on that link, that official link, it did show that they were all owned by that pharmaceutical corporation. So, I mean, they're all bought and paid. Like I've said before, don't believe anything because you're told. Because it probably, there might be little niblets of truth in there. But you know what? It is error by omission. It is give you little bits of truth to be truthful enough for you to eat it hook, line, and sinker, but it's loaded with disinfo. And that's what I keep finding time and time again. All right, so what we're going to hit now today, actually, probably the last few days of posting, I started scrolling through this morning. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? And they all seem to flow in order. So I guess we're just going to go down my list and we're going to take a look at some things to kind of dovetail into where we left off on Friday, where we were talking about some vaccines and the bird flu and all these mysterious, never before seen diseases that have been appearing all over just as they're getting ready to ramp up and double time these mandatory vaccinations. That bill is still ramrodding it through in California. There's protests. They want to get kids now mandatory vaccinations, and they want to go after adult standing orders at doctor's offices to make sure you all get your boosters. We see Minnesota. Now, remember, when we were watching a clip on Friday, I mean, I watch the news pretty closely because I do a show 5 days a week. And then add to that all of the videos and the playlist sorting and all the other crap that I do. I mean, there's sometimes 50 to 75 headline videos a day that I have to go through and sort. So, I mean, I keep a pretty close eye on what's going on, if only just reading headlines. And the first that I had seen that there was some massive bird flu outbreak in Minnesota that went after, I think, 7 million turkeys, was on Friday hearing about the 5.3 million chickens that they were going to have to cull in Iowa, I believe, because of bird flu. And that was just after, a few days after us reading about Fido being sick. And then in Eclipse, they said it was bird flu that, that dogs were getting as well. So it just seems kind of odd. But anyway, this was on the 24th, so this must have been on Friday. Dun, dun, dun. Minnesota now declares bird flu state of emergency. Now, guys, ding, 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 ding. The last time I started seeing them declare states of emergency over a pathogen, what happened? That was when they opened the door to the FDA fast tracking for the newfangled vaccine that came out of Europe because we apparently didn't have enough in this country. So just keep your heads up and your eyes open on this one. Declaring a state of emergency for a pathogen is no joke. And all these things that we've been talking about, whether or not They can quarantine you. The executive order that went through in July in regards to pathogens that could be spread easily and whether or not they could put you into quarantine. I mean, all that stuff is real. And all we need is a quote unquote pandemic to enact all of some of these new things that they've been working on. So anyway, let's read this. Minnesota is the second state to declare an emergency. So it's the second state. See, now who was the first state? Did Iowa declare? I didn't even see a first state. Minnesota is the second state to declare an emergency due to a fast-spreading bird flu epidemic at poultry farms across the Midwest. Of course, right in the breadbasket of America. The highly contagious H5N2 strain of avian influenza has led to the killing of more than 7.3 million birds in the U.S. In Minnesota, the H5N2 has been found, on 46 farms in 16 counties. This is insane. Here's my question. We were pummeled ad nauseum. I mean, I believe there are probably over 1,200 Ebola videos in the Ebola playlist on Pigmine. And every time somebody shit an Ebola cell, we got a video, okay? So we're talking 46 farms, 16 counties, 7.3 million birds that have been killed. And we're just hearing about this on April 24th. Today's April 27th. How's that possible? You know, I had mentioned this the other day when we started talking about the bird flu outbreak in Iowa. And I had mentioned this back when we first started this Ebola thing. If you remember, they were like all crazy about Ebola outbreak. And then when people started to get scared and we got to send troops into Africa to go fight that pesky Ebola, right? And then we were getting ready, all these quote unquote vaccines were getting ready in queue to start the never before tried human testing. All of a sudden there was a lull in the Ebola stories. And then you start seeing the World Health Organization or whatever group it was going, oh, never mind. It wasn't that bad after all. You know, things are getting back to normal. Don't worry about it. And I postulated that what they had done was let the cat out of the bag, got people panicking, and then people were realizing that it really wasn't such a big deal. And then no one was paying attention anymore. So they hadn't let it percolate enough, right? So it got real quiet for a month or two, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, holy shit, mega resurgence. Oh, Ebola everywhere. And now we got 5 new vaccines that are beginning human trials, right? Well, this almost seems similar, except they didn't jump the gun this time because we didn't see news on the front end. They just waited until it percolated good and chunky at 7.3 million birds, and now they're telling us about it because, hey, that's scarier than a onesie-twosie case that, you know, isn't making headline news. All right, let me finish reading the story. It says in Minnesota, the H5N2 has been found on 46 farms in 16 counties, affecting more than 2.6 million turkeys and chickens. Reuters reported no human infections have been reported in this outbreak. Phew. But, you know, notice, too, they don't even mention Fido or the dog flu or the fact that now they're assigning that dog flu to bird flu. I think it was a different strain, though. There were two different strains. The H5N2 was the one that they were finding in Iowa as well. And that dog was an H3 something. I'd have to look, but we did look at that a few days back. It says, quote, there's no reason for anybody in the state of Minnesota to be concerned about their own health, says Governor Mark Dayton at a press conference on Thursday after declaring a state of emergency. Now, of course, that's what Mr. Governor Mark Dayton is supposed to say. And you know, shouldn't you be afraid when you start hearing that from your elected representatives? There's no reason for anyone to be concerned about their own health. What? Shouldn't they at least put you on notice? Here are the symptoms of bird flu. Though this doesn't typically pass to humans, or at least this strain, it is possible that it could pass to humans. And if it does jump the species barrier, that's a bad sign that it could become a pandemic. Because I'm pretty sure that's even what the CDC tells you. And that's I'm pretty sure that that's what the feds tell you. So why the fuck, after 7.3 million birds are culled, 46 farms, 16 counties, 2.6 million turkeys and chickens, he's saying don't be concerned. That's when you worry. Remember, I told you guys, when you start to see little red flags pop up because something doesn't seem quite right, your eyebrow goes up as you're reading a story for one little sentence that you're like, huh, that doesn't make sense. That's the red button. Ding, 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 ding. Cupid doll. There's no reason for anybody in the state of Minnesota to be concerned about their own health. Wow. Nevertheless, the state health officials said that they were expediting prescriptions for the antiviral drug Tamiflu for farm workers and others who had been direct contact with the infected flocks. Yeah, I bet Tamiflu stock's going to go up now. They probably had a slump. That step follows recommendations from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. 140 people in the state who have worked directly with the sick birds have been monitored by the Minnesota Department of Health. None have tested positive for bird flu, the department's spokesman, Michael Schumann, whatever it was, said. Minnesota is the nation's largest turkey producer. So like I said, look out for Thanksgiving this year. We're going to have $80 freaking turkeys. Minnesota is the nation's largest turkey producer and 45 commercial turkey farms and one backyard flock of poultry of 151 birds have been struck by the bird flu thus far, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Now, back last week, I was up late one night hearing BBC and BBC Radio. They had actually mentioned briefly the bird flu outbreak in Iowa because that in Iowa, they produce one out of every five eggs consumed in the United States. So that's pretty huge. But one of the things that they had said in the BBC story was that they were working on a vaccination, quote unquote, for bird flu for not only chickens and poultry, but humans as well. So put on a seatbelt for that. It says on Thursday, the bird flu spread from turkeys to chickens as a farmer in northwestern Minnesota said his laying operation has now been infected with over 300,000 chickens. So I guess they're hitting chickens now in Minnesota, too. Jesus. I mean, how was this not headline news? And it ends up in the clip we heard on Friday. It wasn't just Iowa, which is the only state I heard of, and then this Minnesota declaring a state of emergency. But in the one clip, they mentioned offhandedly that it was like 12 states. I mean, this must have been percolating for a really long time for it to be this advanced throughout the flocks. Quote, this is a moving target. And the number of farms affected has continued to increase, Dayton said. We don't know what the ceiling would be. So on the one hand, you got the governor saying, don't worry, nothing's wrong. You're not in danger. And on the other hand, we have this farmer who's saying it's spreading like wildfire and they don't know where it's going to end. If the problem is not addressed quickly, bird flu is capable of destroying an entire flock in less than 48 hours. Yeah, so much for all of the homesteaders who are trying their self-sustainable living, huh? With their turkeys and their chickens. Two bird flu strains have been discovered in the United States this year. The H5N2 strain is in Arkansas, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, North Dakota, Oregon, South Dakota, Washington, and Wisconsin, and it has also been identified on farms in Ontario, Canada. So there's your 12 states that apparently it's raging, and we didn't hear a peep. So that's the H5N2. And notice, too, Kansas is in the middle there where they moved their Plum Island research to. I just thought that was interesting. The H5N8 strain has been identified in California and in Idaho also, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture data. Minnesota followed in Wisconsin's footsteps by declaring a state of emergency. So I guess Wisconsin must be the second state with the state of emergency. Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin authorized the state's National Guard to assist authorities in responding to bird flu in three counties. Okay, guys, so we send troops to Africa to battle Ebola, and now we're rolling in the National Guard to battle bird flu on chicken farms. I mean, is it me? Or is that, did they do that before? I don't know. I mean, when I read stuff like this, I start questioning, am I crazy or is this just over the top weird? Like, is this just over the top? Like, why would we be sending in the National Guard? Why wouldn't we be sending in like some sort of university veterinary experts along with the CDC to come help squelch the outbreak? What the hell is the National Guard gonna do? Go burn buckets of chickens? Go firing squad shoot 2.3 million chickens? I mean, what? It has been also found in six flocks, affecting over a million chickens and turkeys in Wisconsin. It says Wisconsin must act, quote, quickly and efficiently to contain the outbreak and the protect domestic poultry, Walker said when he declared the state of emergency. In Iowa on Monday, more than 5.3 million hens were scheduled to be euthanized at an egg laying facility after the majority of them were found to be contaminated with the lethal H5N2 strain. I was just going to say, we read a story then on Friday that they had taken that number down, the 5.3 million, I think they decided that it only had to be like 3.2 million after that. So I don't know how they decided 2 million extra chickens were okay. Iowa's home to more than 58 million egg-laying hens, according to the USDA. It produces one-fifth of all eggs consumed in the United States. Authorities have not pinpointed the source of the bird flu, which is believed to have spread from hen to hen via bird droppings. There is a theory that it could have originated from wild birds flying through the Mississippi Flyway on a migration path that stretches from Mississippi River up to the Canada's Mackenzie River. Now, I'm going to tell you what, just like we found the infected tree that one single infected fruit bat who was responsible for the entire Ebola outbreak, we're going to now pin it on migratory birds, okay? I live in a state that is adjacent to Canada. And so every spring and every fall, we have flocks and flocks and flocks of Canadian geese that fly overhead and poop on us, land in our fields where they've cut down the corn, nibbling leftover corn niblets, and knock on wood. But I know I have never heard of a case of bird flu in any chicken or turkey farm, which we do have them here in this region. I mean, I guess it's possible that we could have flying disease vectors like flying rats. But again, they say it's just a theory and they have no idea where this virulent strain has come from. So there you go. Read that one and weep. Like I said, pay attention to that one. Here, I'm going to drop that in a chat, and I'll make sure I put that into the notes of the show once the show is done. I mean, is it me? Or, I mean, the fact that we have this mega outbreak in 12 states, and it's the first that we're hearing of this? I mean, shouldn't this be, like, major news, especially with the drought and culling of beef back last year, all that beef, because there was no water to grow any crops to feed them, the diarrhea virus that all the swines had, the babies were all dying of dehydration because they had the diarrhea disease, the prairie dog plague going on. You know, I mean, as we start seeing all this stuff, this definitely would be a scare-em headline. I mean, I just don't understand why this was not all over and they're not using the fear porn. It's intentional, as far as I can see, that they're keeping this quiet until it gets bigger. Why? 12 states plus another strain in other states as well. All right, I want to get to the crow story. Let's see if we can, let's see if we can connect my Skype. Talking about birds. Hey, look at that. It connected. All right. There was a story that came out of CBS this morning. Looks like Thursday or Friday. I just thought this was interesting. I've talked about crows before being very intelligent, about some of the experiments that I've seen where they've put a crow in a room. They had some stuff laying out, and the crow figured out how to use some of the things that were laying out on the table, use it as a tool to get the cage open. That then within that cage was another cage. So then they used a tool to get into that other cage to then get the food that was within the cage. There are only a few creatures on the planet that they have found are able to utilize and build tools. Crows are one. Cephalopods are another. I think it was an octopus or an octopus, or a squid that had done that. But I had seen a video of them building tools one time for building a shelter and stuff. It was pretty messed up. But anyway, here, check this out. This is pretty neat. Just staying on the bird topic, and then we will move on to some artificial intelligence and being taken over by robots. If the video plays, if not, we're going to have to, I always have my, it doesn't, well, maybe here comes, I have my backup plan already. Here it comes. Oh, come on. All right, hold on. You know what? If this doesn't work, let me just get to that video quick, just in case. I'm not putting up with this today, computer. I'm telling you. It's Monday. Don't mess with me. No, it's not. So hold on. We're going to disconnect Skype here, and we're going to reconnect on the other machine that doesn't seem to have problems connecting to the internet. And as a matter of fact, it's because it's not as infected. This machine is newer, and I very rarely use it. All right. Contacts, and I need to call myself. So we'll do Jeopardy music. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. I wonder if they're going to get me for copyright. All right. Here we go. Let's try on this machine. Oh, no, hold on. I gotta mute my speakers. There. Hopefully that doesn't mean my entire machine's on mute. If it does. Oh, hold the phone. I was doing experiments yesterday. I think this is it. All right. There we go. God, they make me work for it, don't they? All right, let's unmute. I'm hearing myself. I'm sorry, guys. All right, this might work now. We'll try. Right. Here we go. How come I'm hearing echo?
Tree, but among all creatures, these birds may be among the least understood. Ben Tracy shows us new research into their soaring intelligence and surprising warmth.
Crows have always been a bit creepy. It probably doesn't help that a group of them is not so sweetly referred to as a murder, or that films such as Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds turn them into attempted murderers.
These are the eyes of the bird here. Huge.
Professor John Marsloff studies urban birds at the University of Washington. He says forget the notion of dark and scary. Crows are friendly and smart.
I always call them flying monkeys. I think they're a very small flying monkey. Neurally, mentally, cognitively, they're a flying monkey.
So for the people who are creeped out by crows, you just really creep them out.
Yeah, sorry.
A crow's brain is the size of a human thumb. Huge relative to its body, putting their intelligence on par with primates and allowing them to solve complex problems. The PBS series Nature showed an experiment where a crow figured out how to use a small stick to retrieve a larger stick and then use that to retrieve a piece of food that was well out of reach.
That's actually the experiment. It's funny that they mentioned that. I'm sure that they've done many more. That was an old experiment, but yeah, the crow actually was able to use a tool to retrieve the food. And it wasn't just a one-step process. It was a multi-step process. But here's one of the questions I have now. Crows are so prevalent and they're everywhere. Why wouldn't the crows be a concern for the spread of bird flu? I mean, I know that they're probably not migratory like, let's say, Canadian geese are. But on the other hand, crows and pigeons, doves, they're everywhere. Why wouldn't they be concerned about those spreading disease? I know that here in the Northeast, they are concerned about, and oh, shit, I'm not going to be able to remember what it is. Oh, what's the disease up here that birds get? That they've been telling us for years if we see dead crows that we're supposed to call the health department because of one of the mosquito-borne viruses. West Nile, that's what it is, West Nile virus. It gets into the birds. But, you know, nobody's been warning about bird flu. And, like, I'm watching these in this video. There are flocks, I mean, thousands of these crows, and I mean, think about it, sparrows, whatever, there's birds everywhere. This, to me, that whole bird flu story is just pretty unbelievable. I'm still trying to digest the numbers and the number of states there. But anyway, here, let's finish the story about smart crows.
Marsloff also conducts research with these masks. His team wears them on campus and then records what kind of sounds the crows make. They have discovered crows recognize and remember individual faces. By sedating the birds and putting them through a PET scan, they found different areas of a crow's brain light up when they see a person they perceive as friendly or threatening.
When crows see people, what can they do with that information?
Well, one, they recognize individual people that are important to them. And when somebody does something dangerous, they mark that person, remember that person, as far as I can tell, for their life.
These crows seem to remember 8-year-old Gabby Mann for a good...
They remember people for life, he just said. I mean, that is definitely messed up.
Good reason. She and her mom, Lisa, feed them in their Seattle backyard.
They love dog food.
How smart do you think these crows are?
Very smart. They actually ran a test to see if a crow was as smart as a 7-year-old.
What did they find out?
It was.
Smart enough, it appears, to keep a good thing going.
As smart as a 7-year-old, they said. And that's pretty impressive in a little crow. And I mean, crows are about the size of parrots, I would say, maybe even a little bit bigger. But that's pretty amazing.
This is a lot of stuff.
I know.
Gabby has a carefully cataloged collection of more than 70 trinkets her neighborhood crows have left on her bird feeder, including earrings, a heart, and a best friend charm.
What do you think they're telling you?
That I'm their friend.
Marsluff says more likely they are telling her to keep the food coming. He wrote an entire book called Gifts of the Crow. He says the behavior is part of a courtship with humans. Crows and their relatives, ravens and magpies, have been known to form close bonds with people. These are photos of a wild magpie that continually visits the same family which rescued and fed it.
So when the crows first started bringing gifts for you, what did you think about that?
I thought we should feed them more.
To get more gifts?
So much for having a bird brain.
So what do you got there?
A penny.
So the crows gave you money?
Yes.
That's a freaking crow.
For CBS This Morning, Ben Tracy, Seattle.
That was kind of cute, but yeah, he's got this whole pile of all these gifts that the crows have been bringing him to keep giving them food. So I don't know, you know, people over the years, I'm a huge animal lover, and people over the years have always discounted animals and whether or not they have a personality or whether or not they can feel or think. And I've always said yes. I mean, I've talked about this on the show before. Anyone who's ever been close with their pets knows that without a shadow of a doubt, but science is just catching up now. Anyway, to continue on the flying topic, here was something that I thought was absolutely bizarre. We know that Amazon, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to all of it today. If not, we'll just continue tomorrow. But Amazon, we know, has been trying to get FAA approval to launch the attack of the drone, right, to be delivering packages. Who the hell knows how they're going to do it? One of the requirements for the FAA is that it has to remain within line of sight, and I think that was something that we discovered back a few months ago. We heard a clip where Amazon was pissed off because the FAA has been so slow at dragging their feet over giving them the approval to fly these drones everywhere. And so they've gone over the border, right over the border, and started testing in Canada. But here's a new thing. Speaking of lazy humans, here's a new thing that Amazon wants to do. And I actually think that this would probably be huge and people would fall for this pretty easily.
Amazon wants to deliver packages directly to the trunk of your car.
And you don't have to be anywhere near your car when it happens, for real. We are joined now by CNET Associate Editor Dan Graziano to talk a little bit about this. This is super, I'm totally down with this. Because if you're one of those people that you have no place for the packages to be dropped off and they just put on your front porch or something, this, I think, offers a secure alternative. What is this?
Definitely, because if you order a TV, there's no chance it'll be at your doorstep when you come back from work.
Right.
So with this, you have to be an Amazon Prime member. They're testing it right now in Europe. It's Amazon, Audi, and DHL. So as an Amazon Prime member, say you order a TV, then from the Audi's infotainment system, you can generate a one-time code that the DHL driver will be able to open your trunk. When he places the, say, TV in the trunk, he closes it, and that code's done. No one else can access it.
You know, I'm very paranoid. It's true. However, a one-time access code, what does that do, though, for hackers, potentially? There seems to be a little bit of a security risk.
My thing is never say never, because there will always be people out there who can figure things out. Mm-hmm. They're already trying to hack keyless cars and keyless entries, so that's a problem to begin with. And my thing is, what if he doesn't close the trunk all the way? Then your whole $1,500 TV could be out the door.
I did not think of that.
So it could be a possibility, but I think the benefit outweighs the risk at this point. And Audi even said they may expand to have people pick up packages from your trunk, which I think would be so cool.
Interesting.
So this wasn't actually flying drones, but that's what it made me think of. But yeah, they want to deliver it directly to your car, and they want to be able to pick up packages from your car. And as we're becoming more and more dependent on technologies, they're using the Audi infotainment system, which I don't know, did we talk about that on air or not, that there was a story that came out, I think it might have even been Friday or Saturday, about now they're looking to use the DCMA, the Millennium Copyright Act, to prevent you in the future from being able to work on your own car. Because they want to reclassify cars as a mobile computing device. And under that heading, the software and the computer in the car would then be considered proprietary. And if you go messing with the car itself, you could cause future potential mechanical issues. So they want to make that illegal. And I mean, we've read and seen clips about the DARPA chick. And there were a couple stories that I just found recently. They were interviewing her again about how hackable all of these new devices are. And here we are. He mentioned the hacking of the remoteless keyless entry systems. I mean, that's something that they really are pushing not only on vehicles, but on your home, right? You can have the push button keypad for your door. They have thumbprint scans for things and whatever. And as we become more digitized and move away from doing old school things like literally using a key, it's going to be easier and easier for quote unquote hackers to get into things. And of course, what is that going to allow them to do? Oh, problem reaction solution. Now let's bring in a stronger cybersecurity bill, which they're in the process of right at this very moment as we speak. Here's a clip about this mysterious device, they call it. Yeah, I'm sure it came from some alphabet agency initially somewhere that gives burglars access to keys to cars' keyless entry system.
Ways around technology designed to keep them out of cars. Reports of stolen vehicles are down sharply from the 1990s. They dropped from 1.7 million per year to around 700,000. But Vladimir Dutier of our digital network CBSN shows us how high-tech car thieves are exploiting security gaps. And he's right here in New York City. Vlad, good morning.
Good morning. Thieves may have figured out a way to amplify the signal sent from your key fob to your car, unlocking it. And while the key may be safely inside your home, tech-savvy crooks could be figuring out a way to crack into your car.
Surveillance video shows the ease with which this troubling high-tech break-in technique takes place. In Chicago, a man walks up to a car without a key, opens the door with ease, and hops right in. 3 minutes later, he exits the car and walks away.
The knee-jerk reaction was for me to be angry.
Angry because he owns that car. And Michael Shin says he's diligent about locking it up.
It's just... a little unnerving that they could so easily just walk into my car without any recourse and without really anybody noticing.
At a loss for what happened, Michael posted his video online and learned of 78 similar car break-ins within a mile of his home. He says the police were just as confused as he was.
They looked at my footage and I'm like, we have absolutely no idea what this is. We've never even heard of it. This is the first we're ever even seeing of it.
These mysterious break-ins have been baffling law enforcement and insurance companies across North America and Europe for years. Roger Morris is with the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Seems like we come up with something new just about every week or two, some kind of device or allegations about some kind of thing that can open a car and or start a car.
In Long Beach, California, two men with a small box in their hands are able to break into cars with ease. And in Sausalito, this man walks around a car before stealing a $15,000 bicycle out of the back. No alarm. Again, disabled by a mystery device.
Over the years, car manufacturers have taken great strides to help make their vehicles more secure, developing technologies like this keyless entry system to deter criminals. But as these technologies have advanced, the criminals have become more creative in figuring out ways to break in.
They can walk up literally with what appears to be a cigarette pack.
Moore says little is known about the devices or exactly how they work, but he believes they confuse keyless entry cars into thinking the fob is near by amplifying the signal it emits or hacking into the system.
You know, the hackers are very good. Car thieves are very good. They can't go in and hotwire a car today like they used to. So what do? They try the next best thing.
Many can be assembled through parts ordered cheaply online. These images are of devices confiscated by police in Texas, apparently modified from gadgets purchased on eBay. And while protecting against these attacks are difficult, Morris says constant vigilance helps.
Make sure you lock that car up, take your fob or your key with you, never leave it inside the car or near the car, and do the best you can.
You can keep the fob in any metal container, even your freezer. The metal effectively disables the key because it blocks any signal to or from the fob. Nora?
So, Vlad, what are the car companies saying about this? What are they going to do?
Well, Nora, the car companies say they are constantly updating their security systems to prevent these types of cyber attacks. In fact, we spoke to one security company in Switzerland that says they're working with automakers to remedy this.
All right, Vlad, thank you so much. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, it's very scary.
It is.
I've been talking all this time, and I've had no audio. Oh, come on. I think it's back now. So I don't even remember where I left off. Anyway, we went through the cybersecurity bill. So I guess you guys missed it. But I was saying that, you know, this is majorly draconian. The fact that they're going to somehow hold corporations' feet to the fire to be able to report on the citizens is just insane. All right, very last story here for the last minute and a half. GM, Ford, and others want to make working on your own car illegal. One of the inherent rights of owning a vehicle is to be able to get on one's backside with a wrench in hand and get under the car, gearheads. General Motors, the same company responsible for 87 deaths related to faulty ignition switches, wants to take that right away, citing safety and security issues along with a few other big names. It's called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DCMA. And it's been around since 2000 and started as an anti-internet piracy legislation. But automakers want to now use this to make working on your own car illegal. Yes, illegal. The general purpose is that unlike cars of the past, today's vehicles are so advanced that such a large amount of software coding in their genetic general makeup altering that said code could be dangerous and possibly even malicious. Listing the vehicle as a mobile computing device, that's where I got that from, the law would hypothetically protect lawmakers from pesky owners looking to alter any sort of technology in the vehicle that relates to the onboard computer. All right, guys, we're down to the last 20 seconds of the show, so I hope I wasn't muted for too long. I don't know what happened there. Make sure you stick around. It's Monday night. I have a brand new Truth on the Tracks by Brandon Turville. Nick and DB will be on live tonight at 11. Make sure you stick around. We got Hal up next. Nathan Frazier this afternoon. Bocelli Effect, Rewind, Unlock the Door, Truth on the Tracks, United Front Radio, and Antimedia. Have a good day. Take care, everybody. Catch up with you tomorrow.